Good evening, everybody. Tonight we're going to, the title of tonight's message is Biblical Diet. Dieting, or not so much dieting, but Bible and diet. I was talking to a couple of people a few weeks ago about food, about the food that I love to eat. And the comment was put to me was that some seafood like prawns and crabs are unhealthy to eat because in the book of Leviticus they were considered unclean. And anyway, this is what was said to me, they are the garbage disposal units of the sea and we shouldn't eat them anyway. Now, I don't know if this person was being serious or not, but it got me thinking. And because Brother David Cloud has an excellent book on biblical diet, I thought we should take a look at what God tells us about what we should or should not eat. Amen? Also, today there are many so-called experts telling us that vegetarianism is a much healthier way to live. Maybe they're right. Maybe we should all be vegetarians. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord, for Coast One Baptist Church. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can look into your word and find everything we need to know for this life, Lord, and the life to come, Lord. I pray that you'd bless each one tonight, Lord. I pray that they would have come tonight with their hearts to listen to your word and to receive your word, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the Bible, we can find everything we need to know about this life, and diet is one of those things. Amen? Please, in your Bibles, could you please turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29. We're going to be looking at a bit of Genesis and a bit of Leviticus. Leviticus. Along with a few other scriptures. But Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29. Genesis chapter 1 verse 21 says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." So in the beginning of man's history, diet was simple and bountiful. Man could eat of the fruits and vegetables, nuts, grains and legumes. And then, of course, there was crystal clear water to drink. God made man's body with its need for certain vitamins and nutrients, and he provided everything that man needed. He also made man's sight, smell and taste, so provided a diet that's not only rich in nourishment, but also rich in enjoyment. There's nothing like the beautiful smell of fresh baked bread, amen? Or roast lamb. I'd like to just turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." This passage explains the root cause of sickness and death. It is not our diet, as the world tells us. It is the wages of sin. When Adam and Eve broke God's commandment, they fell under God's judgment of death. It tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And we know here at Coastline there are three deaths. There is a spiritual death, which is separation from God. And Adam and Eve experienced that as soon as they sinned. There is physical death, which is separation from the spirit of the body. And then there is eternal death, which is everlasting punishment in the lake of fire. All have sinned and all die. Death is not only an event, it is also a process. Death is not only an event, it is also a process. Sickness and old age are part of that process. And while diet can affect our health, there is no diet that will guarantee health and longevity to fallen man. Would you please turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. And drop down to verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Alas, we no longer live in the garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were booted out and into a fallen world tainted with thorns and pests, poisons and disease. No matter what God's original diet might have been in Eden, things have changed dramatically from that time. We live in a world that groans and travails in pain. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 8:22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This is the foundational cause of all sickness and death. Man has been trying to regain paradise ever since Adam and Eve fell and were evicted from Eden. But this has always failed because it does not deal with the root of the problem, which is man's sin before a holy God. Only through Jesus Christ can man regain paradise. And the plan for regaining paradise is entirely of God's design. The Son of God was born a sinless man through the virgin birth, demonstrated his divinity by miracles and the fulfillment of ancient prophecy. He died to make atonement for man's sin and rose from the dead. When a sinner repents of his sin and receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, he is justified by God. He is declared righteous on the basis of what Christ did for us on Calvary. But the fallen nature is not removed in this present life. Only in the resurrection does the believer regain paradise. Please turn again with me to Genesis chapter 9. We should be to the end of the Bible by about midnight tonight. Hear this right? Genesis chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. At the end of the flood, about 2300 years after Eden, God instructed Noah and his sons that they could eat meat with their fruits, vegetables, nuts and grains. It might be that men ate certain meats before the flood, but there is no clear record of it in Scripture. Abel was a shepherd. He most probably used the wool, but we don't know if he ate the meat as well. God doesn't say. God's command in Genesis chapter 9 destroys the idea that a vegetarian diet is in any way superior to a non-vegetarian diet. God the Creator would not instruct man to eat meat if it was dangerous for his health and overall well-being. We are not told why man was restricted to a vegetarian diet prior to this, but it is clear that there was a major change in man's diet following the flood, and that change was initiated by God. Still in the book of Genesis, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 6. Genesis chapter 18 verse 6. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which had been dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Here Abraham fed God and the angels a meal of fresh, half-cooked bread, tender calf, butter and milk. It was not a vegetarian meal or a low-fat meal or a low-carb meal, but it was obviously Abraham's diet, and God and the angels ate it too. Amen? Abraham lived to be 175 years old on this diet. If you'd like to turn to Exodus chapter 12. That's Genesis, Exodus, the next book of the Bible. Amen. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Drop down to verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Roast lamb, Brother Huey. Your favourite, amen? It's one of my favourites as well. Israel killed and ate meat in the process of practicing their religion. For the Passover, it was roasted lamb, amen? Obviously, then, there is nothing unhealthy about eating meat. And the meat was cooked and served with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Roast lamb, yummy. Are we having roast lamb tonight, Brother Huey? No. Then we go to the sin offering for the Jews. The sin offering was a bullock, a goat, a lamb, a turtle dove, or a pigeon. And the priests of Israel ate portions of these roasted animal sacrifices. Since this was God's law, it is obvious there is nothing inherently unhealthy about eating meat. If you'd like to turn to Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 1. Leviticus chapter 11 verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever part of the hoof and his cloven foot and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud or them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean to you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divideth the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch, they are unclean to you. And these shall ye eat, that of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters and the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which are in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in an abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten, they are an abomination. The eagle and the ossifrage and the osprey and the vulture and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, and the owl and the night hawk and the cuckoo and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the Geiger eagle, and the stork, and the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat, all fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you. Yet these may ye eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Even these of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. And for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the even. Big piece of scripture there. So there we go. There's a thing about no fins or scales. Does that mean I can't eat prawns and shellfish, Brother Huey? We shall see. Under the law of Moses, God restricted the types of meat that Israel could consume. They couldn't eat pork. No bacon for breakfast. One of my favourite breakfast things, bacon. Amen? It is important to understand that the Old Testament dietary laws were not for the purpose of health or physical cleanliness. There was no such dietary restriction prior to the giving of the Mosaic Law. So did God not care about our health prior to this? There is no evidence that the animals listed as unclean were inherently more unhealthy to eat than those that are listed as clean. It has been said that the forbidden animals, such as pigs, were pronounced unclean because they are scavengers. But this is not the reason they were declared unclean. The Bible says nothing about the diet of animals listed in Leviticus. Chickens eat dung, but they were not listed as unclean. Rabbits do not eat dung or other dirty things, but they were unclean simply because they didn't have cloven hooves. And there is no evidence that fish that have fins and scales are inherently more healthy than those that don't. And there is no such dietary restrictions in the New Testament church. Had the Mosaic dietary laws been for the purpose of health, they would not have been abolished for church-aged believers. Amen? Israel's dietary law was given to teach the principles of separation and holiness. You can turn there if you want, Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and every living creature that moveth in the waters and every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beasts that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. So God used these laws to impress upon his people the importance of distinguishing between clean and unclean, holy and unholy. The law depicts strict separation from sin and from evil things of the world. The so-called experts also say that cow's milk is for cows, and humans were not supposed to consume it. 21 times the Bible describes Israel's promised land as the land of milk and honey. It should be obvious to us then that milk and milk products are not inherently harmful to man's health. They are actually a blessing from God. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 20 says, when the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh because thy soul longeth to eat flesh, thou mayest eat flesh whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. Israel was instructed by God to eat meat, and they were at liberty to eat any meat except that which was unclean by the Levitical standard. So we know that the Jews were not vegetarians. Amen? Well, let's have a look at Daniel. Daniel and his Jewish friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who remembers them? Yeah. It's a well-known biblical story that's been told to us when we were at Sunday school. Amen. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. You don't have to turn there for time's sake, but Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 through to 16. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favour and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Malzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of thy children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Malzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. Has anyone here heard of the Daniel diet? No. Okay, so there's the Daniel diet purports that the diet described in Daniel chapter 1 teaches biblical principles of natural health and healing, and offers practical and spiritual answers to overcoming ill health. It was a diet of vegetables and water. The term pulse refers to herbs or vegetables grown from seeds. So it's a vegetable diet, is what is implied. But, there's always a but. The fact that this diet is not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture proves that it was a special diet for a special situation with a special purpose rather than a general dietary law. Daniel did not want to be ceremonially defiled by the Babylonian diet, which consisted of things forbidden in the laws of Moses. Moses did not forbid the eating of meat, so it is probable that the restriction of the diet to vegetables and water was to demonstrate God's power to the Babylonians. Amen? If you'd all like to quickly turn with me to the book of Mark. So that was Old Testament dietary requirements. We'll look in the New Testament and see what it says there. Mark chapter 14 and verse 17. So twice Jesus fed the multitudes with bread and fish. So it's obvious that he was not a promoter of vegetarianism. Amen. Mark chapter 14 verse 17 says, and they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled. And also Jesus fed the disciples privately with bread and fish after his resurrection. Again, it's obvious that vegetarianism is not superior to non-vegetarian diets. And you'll find that in John chapter 21. If you'd like to turn me to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Acts chapter 10, verse 9 says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at 4 corners and let down to the earth. wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. God instructed Peter to eat the animals that were unclean under the law of Moses. This was so shocking to Peter that he refused to obey God at first. It is true, though, that this vision God was teaching Peter that Gentiles can be saved on the same basis as the Jews. But it is also true that God was literally commanding Peter to eat of the animals that were unclean under the law of Moses, such as pigs. Had these animals been inherently unhealthy, God would have not commanded Peter to eat them. In conclusion, please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. This verse makes me very happy because I can eat my prawns and soft shell crab without thanksgiving. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 4 says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving." Amen. Amen. There is no diet that will give us longevity. If you want to eat just vegetables, well, then that's your choice. It is not going to be any healthier for you. For some people, knowing when to put the fork down will save themselves a lot of grief. Amen? Rather than trying to diet all of the time. Next fortnight, I will probably be looking at diet again, and we'll be looking at all the diets that are out there. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for what it says in your word about food and diet. And Lord, we thank you again, Lord, that we can always come to your word when we need to find something out for our lives here on earth, Lord. And Lord, we pray you bless each one that's coming here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.